Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Yeah. Hello, it's Red News Podcast 217. Everton, Nick, is that good enough for you?
No, because you need to label the podcast Everton and not write 216 down. Well, instead of calling it 216, call it Everton at home.
Well, yeah, but what about the bags? That was embarrassing. That was literally live.
Please, you cannot edit that
right,
out.
Right, you two talk while I get ourselves sorted.
I think you still need to have the number in it, because next season there'll also be an Everton at home. So then what do you call that?
Well, that's fine. That's why I'm not against the numbering.
Unless they get relegated. Then they won't.
Unless we
get relegated.
Barney, why have you got a load of football stickers? Bournemouth football stickers as well. We've been playing swaps on the train on the way up. got need. The spares?
Yeah, Albert's collecting.
Right.
You're very hostile this morning.
I'm just wondering why a grown man in his mid-50s.
Not mid-50s, because he's going to be 1 year's time now in mid-50s. Oh, right. Come and talk football, talk United.
All right, okay. Football.
It's a beautiful view, as in, read them. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm going to mention briefly and ask your views after the game. But I have, the one spoiler I'll give to my editorial about the game is, I've grown since all this talk a lot kinder to Old Trafford every time I see it. And you know.
Because you know you're probably losing it, that's why.
Well, we are.
Yeah.
I don't know, we'll talk about that later. But please read the mag and then let us know your views, because I don't think the great unwashed will be consulted, but you never know. Want my opinions, God, I will give them. The one thing, so the MUTV documentary, I know I'll get stick. My overriding thing was...
So you've watched it, haven't you?
I've watched it. You haven't yet. Hopefully that'll happen before it's going to be aired on the 23rd or the 28th. The reason I did it was we've stood here, you lot for 13, 14 years, me for 37, and I want it to be a legacy that Sir Albert can view, and that at least something was a document. There's not many documented officially of our existence. There's one mag in the
Museum.
In the museum. We're nothing, but just why we've done it. And I'd initially said no, going over old ground, and then I said...
It's windy.
She said, look, you know, and you mentioned your mum, and Magda, very good, nice, the producer for it, and... I said the condition was I got the word protest, which as a singular item is important because that's what fanzines were about, are about, will always be about. Anyway, I've watched it and I have to say it was very moving, very emotionally. All three fanzines and Red Issue gets mentioned, are featured that are still going. It's 20 minutes long and I think, you know, they do all of us justice and they do the fanzine movement justice. And I'm sure it'll offend someone, not least my accent and my shouting accent, but I'm proud. So view it and then let us know. But mum gets a mention and then people can see why we do it. And maybe, you know, like it'll make someone who would walk past think, I'll give that a go. And we need those people to give it a go for us to survive. And you two speak articulately, although Nathan wins 3-1 in the segments. What does that say, Nick? He's actually got something like...
He's got a snood on.
But wrapped around you like you're an Italian ultra. Oh, you look like your Fenerbahce ultra.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's
you are the same, aren't you?
My brethren. My brethren. God, yeah, honestly.
Do you want to hear my story?
Is it a few pints in story or is it an in now story?
It's up to you.
Go on, go for it now.
I'm so ready. I can't wait any longer. I'm already
Nick's already told his mum on the way here that he's got a new story. About
right, come on in. So, refer back to the Iranian genre that Shane, God knows what Shane still does. It's a fanzine. It's not a programme. It's a fans magazine. It's £4, please. Thank you for giving it a go. Thank you.
I'll wait a minute.
Oh, lovely. That's perfect. Sorry, thank you.
All right.
There's your mag.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for that. Sorry about this.
You're alright, don't panic.
You got any predictions for today?
We're just doing the podcast.
3-1.
3-1.
Where are you from?
Tyrone in Northern Ireland.
And did you come over this morning or
came over yesterday?
Oh, and did you have a nice night?
Yeah. No, fine. And we've been here before, so.
Yeah. Nice. What's it like? What's your name? Aidan, how old are you?
11.
11, and what's it like seeing Old Trafford?
Good.
Would you rather stay or build a new ground?
Oh, I'll stay here.
Stay here. Why?
But build a new ground here.
Yeah. In there over the road or actually where Old Trafford is now?
I suppose it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't.
What do you think?
about the mag.
I've already bought it, so it's all right.
The one person listening has to buy it, and then I've thought long and hard about it. Thank you.
Cheers. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Right, go on then.
Right, so last week, when I'd been chatting to this girl through one of the apps for a few days, and we met up on Saturday evening. She said how she was quite spiritual. Take that as you will. And early on, she was like, I've got like a gold ring that I always wear. And she was like, oh, what's that? And I said it was my granddad's and stuff. And like, move on, chatting, blah, blah, blah. And then about half an hour later, maybe, she essentially... It sounds so ridiculous when I just say it. She's chatting. We're just chatting, normal conversation. And then she's like, you all right, son? And then I'm like... And then she's like, does that mean anything to you? And I knew, clocked straight away, what she was doing. I was like, and that's nothing that my granddad would ever say. And I just ignored it. She was literally pretending to be summoning up my dead granddad.
Fucking hell.
On a first
date one.
So I just ignored, because I'm not confrontational or anything, am I? Because if I was, I would have been like, what?
No. Oh my God, an exiled day has turned up on the date.
So I was like, I just ignored it. I was, because I could have just been like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you being weird? But I just ignored it and just moved the conversation on, and she just didn't do it again. So it's like, surely if that's like a real thing, if my granddad was trying to get to me through some random blish woman.
Nathan would date with Denica Cora.
He'd do it again, wouldn't he? Yeah. But she just like, she obviously realised that I wasn't having any of it. And just...
I love the fact that you didn't even think about that was an issue at the time. That's...
Oh, I knew it was an issue at the time.
Say red flag. That's a red flag. Right,
well, yeah, there. It was, but I was just like...
I'd have put my pipe down and left at that moment. How long did you stay for afterwards?
For like... hour maybe.
Another hour.
But like it was obviously very strange, but yeah. So it was a bold tactic to make from her, surely, to try and summon the ghosts of dead relatives on a first date. But it might work for some people, but it didn't work for me. So I said before, I didn't tell Barney and Nick this story. I just said I had one. And I said it puts a whole new meaning to the word ghosting.
Yeah, it does.
I have to say, I'll listen to this bit because XR Dave's just walked past, but that's far out. That's
far
really...
out? Well, yes! Some sort of Californian hippie. It's far out. Just...
I would say it's a bold tactic.
It's a definite book.
It's a bold tactic to make.
I've said this to someone else
but
who
other people who entertain that. Other people who would entertain that would go with it. Because it was such a like a vague thing to say. Well, I don't know. But imagine thinking... But how weird is that?
It's almost like you use you as a client.
Like, how weird would that be?
The ghost of Emily Bishop.
How weird would that be to like acknowledge it and be like, all right, you're in contact with my granddad. Let's go and shag so we can watch.
We're mid-weird story, man.
Catch you on the way back. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's my story.
But that is... Shane, don't be doing... anything dodgy with that. Right, a couple of other points. I will say,
needless
what
to say,
it
there
was...
won't be a second day.
that's like at the end of a comedy gag line. Needless to say, weird. Okay, I can't get my head around that. It's too early in the morning. My alarm was 4:30. I woke up at 4:24. Avanti, of course, cancelled my train. So I love the Saturdays for afterwards, but brutal for us cockneys getting up. You had your birthday party. Thanks for selling that. I will say a couple of things. It was a cat flap, not a fart, the other night. But as was it you or Shane said, I'd be more embarrassed to admit that you have an app that has a cat flap monitor on.
Definitely
it.
Definitely wouldn't be made, would it?
Right, so we had the Marshall staff last time, and then Eric said after Fulham, the team showed big carrots to fight back. We deserved the equaliser and went for the win. We showed big personality and carrots. You have to see the bigger picture. The bigger picture looks very good, and that's the moments where you said, I still like it, Eric the other night, but he's a wally. And I just think,
when he said that we've got the most dynamic front three in the league, like...
that's delusional.
When you start feeling pressure here, it makes you do odd things. And we've seen it even for Jose. We've seen it for a really experienced manager. It crushes people like Moyes. And it makes them do things. And they become so defensive that I don't think they know what to do. And I will say, on the Ollie stuff, now, it has been because Andy, we love UWS as well, like obviously has spoken to Ollie. So he says, he didn't mean that Rashford and McTominay put their hands up as in bottle jobs. What they were was, I think the inference is they were so upset with what was going on, which does show a weakness. What I will say is what it did show, that little thing, Ollie, because obviously English isn't his, his first language, he did have that naivety sometimes with saying stuff. Do you remember a few times that it was misinterpreted and people, I can't remember, there was one instance, people properly lost their shit over something he'd said which he hadn't meant, but it did show that naivety, which is why we love him and I loved watching it. Like, fuck me, Ollie, you're just the perfect manager. If you weren't a manager, because you're not elite level.
Said for years for you.
We had fun though.
He's the perfect assistant manager for
United. Or temporary.
The thing is that him alongside Ten Hag, I think would work quite well. I really do, because I think that his weaknesses are all his strengths and vice versa.
Imagine if we'd have got him just as that temporary manager and he'd left on that high. We'd have all felt really
this week, the PSG game.
Because we'd have everyone be calling for him. So we've been
COVID
manager,
was
though.
4 years when you ran off with my ticket.
Sick of hearing about this. But it's twice this week.
But it's like, but I still maintain the best football and the most fun was under Ollie. So that's the poorness of Eric's, the board is best, we got giddy. It was 3 or 4 months, so we're really lacking. And because I went 1-0 at Fulham, I'm not going to go. But I'm not sure we're winning. Like Nathan said, I'm not confident over any game, but not anything about today. And you've got to hope Blood and Thunder gets us by, but
I think
it could be really I don't know.
Well, they're
going to. But I did say how embarrassing. Fifth shouldn't be in there, Champions League, the whole format. I'll get onto the greed of football, and I do think we're on a seismic moment now where us dinosaurs are really getting the speed with which we get shoved aside will be faster. Champions League format changing, the Club World Cup. Everything's at a real pivot in every new competition in every way. The Spurs, the Arsenal. Season tickets for senior. I don't think we're at that moment, but fifth shouldn't be. We argued second shouldn't get there, but if we miss out on fifth, that's fucking shameful. The one season that it could get it, but I can't see. I can't see us making up the 6 points, because even if we make the 6 points up, we'll lose those two big games.
I have to say on the Champions League format, should we get in there? I quite like the idea of this new format. I was really against it, and the more I think about it, the more I like it.
Why?
Because I think, have you watched any of the Champions League this season?
No.
It, apart from us, I've got to say,
that was bad.
I've only watched us, and it was and that was terrible. But aside from us,
he's so scarred.
Have
I've written
seen how
it away.
These round of 16 games,
but no one's talking about
it's
it.
Terrible.
People made the point.
It's terrible. He needs
but for
reform,
actual the advertising, they must be losing interest, because people aren't even asking for streams. People aren't even talking about these games. And everyone said, from the quarters onwards. But look at 99. I'll be mentioning that for the April mag. Every game had something about it. Apart from you could argue the Bromby.
This will do.
But out of all those fixtures, every one was a big fucking
this
time.
This is the thing though now, so even in this massive league format, let's say if you're playing someone like Red Star Belgrade and you still think, oh, it's a bit of a nothing game and City are still playing against them, you probably still got Real Madrid playing against Celtic or something like that, or some tin pot side. So the thing is with that though is that both of those teams have still got to keep winning, even though they're not playing proper teams, they've still got to keep winning to stay in those top 8 places. It definitely makes it more competitive and more interesting.
Really? I think you're...
But then the teams, after a few games and the people who are at the bottom, they know that they've already got no chance, so they just give up.
And also, it's excluding more...
It's
not an actual... It's excluding more of the teams. It's done for money reasons, and I don't know. Hey! I've got something for you. You're right. Quick word on the podcast. What's the score, Zayden, do you reckon?
2-0.
To us? Yes. Right, I've got something for you. You might have them. I've got some spare panini from Albert. So just in case, you might have the one it's Casemiro, but if not, stick it on your wall or something like that.
Yeah,
so they're the spares we've got for you, Zayden. All right, and what do you make of this? Everything, right? Ben?
What's everything? What we're going on about?
Right. in 1 minute, the ground.
Yep.
What do you think?
I'm torn 50-50 on it, Barney, really, to be fair, mate. If it was me, I'd keep it and renovate this one. But if I was looking on the unselfish side for someone like Little Man, the next generation of young kids after him, a brand spanking new state-of-the-art ground. However, I don't want it to be a neutral ground. I know it's saying Wembley or the North and stuff like that, but I would want that, mate. I want it to be Manchester United, unique to us.
Read the fanzine where I make similar comments.
Yeah, I don't want like a Wembley.
Can
I don't
just
want like
just one
theater.
Set while I get Nathan set up.
Oh, I'm so amateur at times. Sorry, Zach, I know it's cold, mate. Right, yes. Yeah, so when do you think you'll one side or the other?
I don't know, really, innit?
I've come since the talk has grown, and we know that I've grown much kinder to its foibles and even our moans, you know, they're obviously justifiable, but it's better. It's still a great stadium, you know.
It still is a great stadium. It still gives people, you know, you see it sometimes on social media when they upload the kids for the first time in their first sort of game here, and they're all excited. It still has that wow factor, mate, you know. And it's not falling down, like, you know, you get that chant, Old Trafford's falling down. It's not falling down. It's a bit grubby in place, don't we? Wrong, a bit rusty, you know. But it's not falling down. No. It's got a couple of leaky roofs, but it's far from a shoddy stadium. You see some stadiums, like Forest, for example, City Ground, one of their little stand, that looks like it's stuff from the 70s or 80s.
The facilities, like, for the amenities for Zayden?
It's really good. The Stretford End one's absolutely top-notch, mate. It's one of the best in the league.
That's not needing work on them for you.
But that's my other main worry. If we do get a brand-new stadium, Spurs, for as good as it is, they put safe standing, even before safe standing, when the away fans always sit. Always stand. They don't sit. So wheelchair users can't, you know...
Sorry, I'll be one moment.
Yeah, wheelchair users can't see over the people that are standing. So,
right, so...
And that's a brand new, spanky new stadium like at Spurs.
What's West Ham like? Have you been...
West Ham's awful. You're 100,000 miles
away. But that's what another
at least
worry.
You can still see no one, so it's high enough.
But I don't want to move to a West Ham, you know, like... And that's where I'll get onto
Wembley,
Lord Co
Wembley's
after a pipe.
Though. Wembley's Jesus. Decent, so...
See, right, see, for me, I don't like, you know, the Wembley thing.
No,
right,
no
on Eric, have you any wobbles at all, or since the last time we spoke?
No, old bud, man, to be fair. Really old bud. Been looking forward to matches. We'll be doing matches galore, aren't we?
No, you know, that's Bishop Auckland last night. Was that good?
Yeah, it was good.
And today, your prediction of Ed Zayden's?
Well, Zayden's got 2-0, and I'm going 2-1.
Right, okay, 2 wins, I'll take that. I don't want to say, I said we wouldn't win last time. Right, cheers, lads.
Cheers,
thanks very much for that.
Cheers.
Right, so we need some much-needed optimism. Digger, we haven't had you on for a while, so...
After watching United last week, they can't play as bad as that again. We never tackled and we couldn't pass the ball. Today we're going to get it right. We're going to win today and next week we're going to beat Liverpool.
Right.
And I've got a funny feeling, and I've had funny feelings before, we're going to win the FA Cup. We're going to finish about 8th in the league, but we're going to win the FA Cup.
I like this
optimism. And that's my prediction.
Give us it for today and then next week.
3-1 today, 2-1 next week.
And have you been all right?
I've been fine, yeah.
And does the FA Cup... still stir. What do you remember your first FA Cup game?
Yeah, Villa, when we got beat 2-1. We went there hoping we was going to win the first team to win the double, but we got unstuck when Peter McParl and Foul Ray Wood. The following year we had the fatal crash and then we got beat with Bolton.
And it's still special too.
Yeah, and the first winning one was 1963. That's when the year I got married. I went down with my wife. I had a ticket, she didn't. I left her in the pub. And the green man.
What I love about that is the video of them. They're not throwing beer over each other. They're throwing milk.
Yeah.
And it's like, and there's quite, the scenes are jubilant, but quite restrained. Yeah. Rory, I'm going to get you on. What do you reckon today? Are you full of optimism?
I think we'll win. I think, not particularly optimistic, but I think we'll win.
Over the season?
Probably finish 6th, 7th.
FA Cup?
Well, we've got to beat these here next week.
Got to, haven't we? Yeah.
We'll win it.
Right.
We'll win it.
Okay, I like this.
Yeah, and it'll be my... When we do win it, I'll be there again. I've seen them lose as many as... I've been to Wembley 54 times to watch United.
Jesus.
That's with all the Charity Shield, the Milk Cup, the League
Cup.
And it's still a buzz to go to Wembley.
What's your best memory? Is it 68?
No.
63?
57. 56, 57. When we... when we won the league with the Busby Babes. Now, the Busby Babes are the finest team I've ever seen. We've got the Trinity here, for my money, that's not the Trinity. The Trinity is Whelan, Taylor and Violet. Between them that season, they scored 98 goals. You know, we scored 145 goals in that competition, and they scored 90 between them.
What was your first, when you saw Wembley for the first time, what was it?
My first recollection of Wembley was, I didn't go, was the 1948 final. I listened to it, and my dad promised me that the following year, if they got there, he'd get tickets. And we got beat by Wolves in the semi-final. So I cried myself to sleep that night, because I was only 9, 10. And then it was my ambition to go to Wembley.
Your enthusiasm for United is contagious. You're the best of us, Dick. Well, so I mean that, and you know, like, thank you. Right, yeah. I hope you're right, and take care yourself. Yeah?
Take care.
Yeah, we don't want to... Right, post-match, I don't know what to make of that. It was a fairly... I wouldn't call it a comfortable win. It was a win. I just don't know. That's as best we can do. I think that's us playing well, I think. We gave them loads of chances, and a couple of people have already said if it was Everton, you'd probably think, well, the amount of opportunities you created in the box but not really troubling us. But we didn't really trouble their goalie, apart from penalties. So... it was just a subdued, I don't know, morning kickoff, but Fulham was subdued. It was just subdued. It was like something, even when I took the steps up to get into the ground, I thought, is there a minute silence? Honestly, I thought, because it's silent. And then it just felt, there was just nothing. We hadn't had in a morning kickoff and we've forgotten how they're great for afters, but they are draining on the soul before. But I don't know, weird, but a win. So... after the shit, we won. So I suppose that's as good. There's lots I'm going to cover first, but I thought Garnaccio started poorly, was giving the ball away, and he won man of the match, and probably deserved that because he's a bright spark. But we were on 60 or 70%, and if we play like that, we'll get done in next week. And someone said maybe we just got to have a battle and bravado next week that was missing. It just felt... And how many chances do we give every single team?
Today, I said last week on the pod in the week, I think that just sums up what we're like against teams that aren't as good as us. We're not convincing. And I think, you know, we were lucky that we got two penalties because we had no other chances other than that. They had far more chances. It felt
but
like
I
they
still
had far
think
more.
We could have scored four or five because we were getting in areas, you know, but not... Not real chances, Steve's flicking. On a side note, Nick persuaded me to get the tram, not bus, and I have a theory that trams are getting slower, and I've thought this for they're definitely slower.
I'm 100%, I'm all aboard the bus now, because it's so much quicker and it's so much easier. I'm glad that they've put that back on.
I don't agree with penalty switches, but I'm glad it worked.
Yeah,
I don't agree with that.
No, but you're saying about Garnaccio starting slowly, I think... He was our only bright spark, and I think if it wasn't him, we wouldn't have got those penalties.
Evans
obviously,
was
they
very
were.
Good.
Yeah, Evans was good.
Casemiro was. Me and
we
Nick
gave the ball away so
about.
Many times.
He
was
won
shit.
It back.
He was
he
so
won it
bad.
Back.
Nick Casemiro.
Yeah. Nick said he was defensively light. Yep, I saw with my eyes.
That's not what I said.
In the second half.
That's not what I said.
In the second half, he did something else, and they got a corner. And you could see that he was so frustrated with himself, but he was just like, because that's the thing, he's a human being as well, but he knows how many times he gave it away today, and he knew, you could see on his face that he knew he was having a bad day, but that was bad.
He was still getting a lot of high fives off Delow. I thought he won a couple of tackles.
Delow
was high five frenzy today. Delow did a lot of high five. He's probably that bereft, like, just give
a
lift.
I'd like to know, does he do more high fives or more thumbs up? He does a lot of, like, don't know, he's like reaching across
what
the pitch.
What did you, birthday boy, happy birthday. Thanks for selling on your birthday weekend, both of you. We sold out before the game. We've got a few copies left. Should have bought more, that's on me. What did you make of today?
I thought we did well, considering we were playing with seven men for most of the game, because, like, Rashford offers nothing, McTominay offers nothing. Casemiro offers very, very little as well. Lindelof offers nothing. So I thought, to be fair, to beat a relegation team...
How bad are Everton?
No, they're bad. And look,
but they're still creative.
They'll just about stay up, won't they? Unless they get more points and stuff. But
the league is so shit.
But they're a team that look like they just want the season to be over. But we're a team that look like they want the season to be over.
The strange thing was, for
most
of that second half felt like a pre-season game.
Again.
Like, they didn't look asked, which was the weird thing. And we were really lucky that they didn't. Because the game was just, like, drifting, like, for a long, long time. And I said to Paul next to me, I was like, if they score one and suddenly click, we're fucked. Because we were just playing, like, just seeing it out. No, but if they had have done...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
If you like Lewin coming on, but I said I wouldn't have even to Corey and Pickford apart. I don't know their team anymore. It's like, Everton are a strange entity at the best of times. That doesn't affect. It does give the fear of God. Next week they've just got to turn up. But for fuck's sake, if we lose and we have 10 games. Just disintegrating the buzz. We've paid a lot of money. I've broken up at 4:30. Where's everything on a game like today?
Well, we're going to score next week. I mean, we played four centre midfielders today, and we still couldn't control the midfield against a team that are close to the draw.
I saw something earlier. Sorry, I saw something earlier on, like about. Saying we could build the new ground in the space that's left by our midfield. And I think that was quite funny.
Yeah, it would be funny if it was so funny.
What did you make today?
Boring. Not really bothered. There's nothing that's just saying on the way here. There's just nothing at stake. So I know there is ultimately something at stake, whether we're playing Europe or not, but just boring. Ten games left. Well, just muddle through them, won't we, I suppose, and then... what's my expectations? I just want to meet Steve, my dad, and that's me. Expectations. Expectations. 5 or 6 pints.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Steve was properly hyped for today because he was texting me in the week. Are you playing out on Saturday?
Yeah. Are we all shazing?
Yeah. And he's. And it's probably. It's not really podcastable, but he gave us a rundown in the pub of his week from hell.
You can't. No, I can't. So you did have a hate of the week. What did you make of today, Steve?
I thought it was shit. I thought it was boring. I thought we didn't have a shot on goal as far as I remember. It was lacklustre. Everton are really shit. And I couldn't wait to leave.
What's your hate of the week? You've told me that.
I can't remember. I had a few.
Team GB.
Oh, yeah. I don't like... So I watched the boxing last night. I don't like this thing where it's like Team Joshua, Team Red News.
We don't have a Team Red News.
Well, if we did,
today.
Well, all right. But I am retired. I'm 40. I am 43 year old with a proper job. First of all, I think it's grammatically incorrect to refer to something as Team something. It should be something Team, shouldn't it? And I just think it's shit. I mean, I've got nothing against like the British Olympic team. In fact, I admire them.
Do you?
No, not really. I'm just saying that because I thought that's what I should say. I couldn't really give a fuck about them, if I'm honest. But I just don't like them to be referred to as like team something. What team?
It's got to be Team Truss, isn't it?
No,
is Truss.
Yeah, I don't like that. I also don't like it at work, and I won't say where I work, but like when they sort of. Come on, people, team shirts on. We are team, name of the company. Don't like that.
The highlight of my day is I missed, but still Nick going up to the bomb disposal bloke who checks for bombs at the ground, and then Nick went, what are you checking for? And he's got a big...
thing that just says explosive check or whatever.
And he replied by saying, hopefully bombs. And we're like, well, hopefully not.
Did you hear that last week about, you know, the derby? How they were making people take their shoes and socks off going out. What the fuck's all that about?
See, that's where...
Mikey was telling me in the week that what one lad just like said, he was like, take your shoes and socks off. And he's like, no. And just flatly refused to do it. And ended up watching it in the Abercrombie.
What right has anybody... I wouldn't even like going to a shoe shop, and if someone said take off your shoes, I'd say I'll make my own mind up when I'm fucking taking my shoes off. To have someone
remember
at a football
last week
game,
when you said you were willing to sell feet pictures, make your mind up.
Yeah, but that's for a fiver. Right, so to get on, like, I don't know, like, it feels like we've won again. It didn't feel as entertaining as West Ham. I had a bit more fun at West Ham. I was just clock watching for vast periods of today, and that's sad. And it did drift.
And I think the frustrating thing is, are we now on back to zero goal difference?
I dread to look.
But like, they're there for the taking. Go and score some goals. Like, and it just felt like we were on 2-0, and they were like, "All right, well, that's it now."
Yeah.
And that's frustrating in itself, because, like you say, we've paid money to
watch
this.
The positive is, I said to Nick, it would be just United to 2-0 to go 2-2. I will say, Unana's had three good games. He has made three good... But his distribution with the feet that we were told was the reason we signed him is fucking diabolical. The Bruno one where he's clean through. Also chipping it over. Evans did well today. Going on Paul's point. Right, my hate of the week is fuck. I never liked Coe in the 80s. I was always an Ovette fan. I never liked Coe as a runner, and I was only young. I'd even take Steve Cram, who was shit. I wanted Cram to beat Coe, and he only beat him like twice, I think.
How do you know so much?
Because it was
when I don't run.
But it was a big thing. It was a huge thing. Coe and Ovette, and when Ovette beat him, it was like, yes, the working man up yours. So any man should not be referred to as Lord. I find that fucking ridiculous. I mean, like, I'd have you all call me Lord, but any man who says I'm a Lord, like Lord Coe.
I was going to say something there, but I can't say
right,
it.
Right, but Lord... So that's a hate of the week.
Are you a Lord?
A hate of the week, yeah. Hate of the decade, hate of the 80s. So him involved with it. I get why they're doing it. Government things. There is a lot of money to be made. So I've made my point clear about the ground. There are a lot of vultures now hovering around the ground proposal, because it will make... And regeneration is good because it does provide jobs, but it's a multi-complicated argument, because gentrification then happens, and then you price out the local community, and then you have these ponces drinking, you know, all sorts of lattes and taking Avram... I think Pete Shaw made Avram fucking pram ride. So it's really... And then you price out the people... So there's a lot of money to be made. I think football's at a seismic point. We've seen it with Arsenal, we've seen it with Spurs. They're getting rid of their senior rates. We've seen Chelsea might be putting up their prices by 20%. We've got the Club World Cup chat coming. We've got the change of the Champions League format. So I think it's a huge moment of crux where, and the argument is made in this mag, please buy the mag, that... Clubs like Old United are almost analogue, that they appease us who moan at them all the time, and they say, well, we've got 50,000 of you moaners paying between 37, and I know a few pay 53, but what we're really after is the 5,000 who pay the 400 quid, the Lanyard FC. And if you were purely coming at it, not from our viewpoint, from a business point of view, go, fuck that, get that swapped over. So you have your performing seals, like the Chris Blackhurst book suggests, behind the goal, and then you the rest of the ground you pillage to the point of the one or two visits megastore. We know it's happening, and it's happening slowly, and now it's sped up, and the new ground. And
it's a clean slate, isn't it? They can just do what they
and
want.
This is it, the whole of football's going this way. We are now at a seismic moment, I think, in the legacy fans being really gone. You know, like legacy we will be a legacy. So that's why, on many reasons, I'm loath for the new grant. It's happening whatever I think, whatever you think, sadly. They won't consult us. They won't take in our views. It'll be a token thing. Gary Neville has a lot of feet in pies. But I do think that I'm very much a turtle now. I'm putting my head in the sand going, I don't want the likes of Lord Coe deciding Old Trafford. Like, look at the West Ham Stadium. I don't want these people involved. And it's a very backward, I suppose, not very now. I don't want them involved. I do not want them involved with deciding the future of our ground, because I'm a fucking person who believes that the ground is us. It's the community, it's the people. It's not the people who run the club. And the people who run the club look at the type of me and go, get rid of those fucking arseholes. So it's going to happen. Changes are coming. So the change is coming at this ground. So the spoiler of the Maggies, let's enjoy what we've got left at Old Trafford, because it's coming soon now.
Yeah. It's a shame, really, when you think about how Barcelona and Real Madrid have redeveloped their grounds. And Bernabeu does look more impressive and things. And you do think that, is that something that we really could have done for it? But I agree, I think we're getting a new stadium. I think, as I said before, you don't get a legacy by redeveloping something, you get a legacy by building something. And that's exactly what we want to do. And we're going to get it there. It's just, what does Old Trafford become?
And I think arguably this is the reason why the Glazers picked him over Qatar, because he's got the power and the contacts to do all this, with them also having majority. If it was sold to Qatar, obviously they're out of the picture entirely, but the Glazers are still the majority, but they've brought in this person who is going to be able to pull the strings and do it, and essentially, arguably, possibly, do it for free. And they are going to get this for free, and then the Glazers are going to make even more money. So I think this whole thing is, don't expect them to disappear anytime soon, even more because of this. Like, this is their golden egg, golden goose. Like, this is the perfect opportunity for them.
Well, they're in a no-lose situation. Yeah. But I do think ultimately, it's money now. It's new money, it's new traffic. People have even said, we'd have naming rights now. I just think, like, for the dinosaurs, we've always said, enjoy the last. We are literally... And not just at United, every Premier League club, like the 92 didn't exist pre it, that every club, it's made repeatedly in the mag, they now know, what is the point of having us come in, moan, when we're a 400 quid enterprise on every one of that, if you're successful, I get there's some clubs who will not have that pull. But if you're Manchester United, where that train out of Euston was absolutely rammed, at 6:30 this morning, you're thinking, Steve, fuck off. Barney, fuck off. Go on, you've said for years you're going to fuck off. Well, fuck off, because your 400 quid replacement is ready-made, ready-waiting.
400 quid a game, depending on the game.
400 quid a game, but also not what they spend in the store. And imagine if you have the biggest, brightest mega store of all mega stores, and a hotel.
It was the Glazer cash grab, wasn't it? Was it the Glazers, or was it the in the 90s, where they suddenly upped the amount of season tickets from like 25,000 to 55,000? When was
that? So the PLC did that. Their justification was, we're fearing the Glazer manoeuvres, so they did it as a bolster move.
Yeah. But it was just like, it was a proper short termism, wasn't it? Like, cash in the bank, like, look how many season ticket holders are. And then it's only now they've realised the folly of the ways. So I've gone into it in detail. All they want to do is just trickle, trickle, trickle. They just want to slowly erode that number of season ticket holders down till they've got, say, 25,000. And they claim that they weren't doing that, but that's clearly what the tactic is, isn't it? Just year on year to get that number down. Because, as you just said, they're not interested in engaging with us in the long term. We're a hassle. They can get a different type of customer who will be far more might be transient, but will be far more lucrative and that's who they want to fucking engage with, you know, like the Americans do it, don't they?
I think that's we're entering the era of the NFL, the visit the experience. But I tell you what pissed me off, like I did walk today and I'm trying to see it all, and I'm Steve gave me the first nod to this when we were talking about it a couple of months ago, and he went, Old Trafford's not as bad as we're making it out. It has the leaks, it has many issues, you know. On a selfish level, I'd like more fucking seat space, but I love where I am. I love, and obviously I'm now going into the turtle. I'm retreating into this view, whether people agree, and there'll be good mates who disagree. But I looked at, so I walked up today and I looked, and I wasn't that impressed with the university building. I thought, hotel football's an aberration in what it's actually built like. So I don't, you know, Nev's designing. No, but Paul, like, so there's obviously, I looked and there were so many areas. There are rundown buildings. So obviously they do need, you can't just leave them to rot. But what pisses me off a bit about this new thing is we have to have the new ground because we'll regenerate the area. Well, why can't you regenerate the area anyway? If you want to build a 5-star hotel, there's loads of opportunities right now. You can do the ground as Old Trafford, but and also do all this, you know, that you want to do.
It's like the whole involvement of Neville. You only have to look at that hotel to see what it. I've only ever been inside its doors once, and that was for the Red News do. And that's not aimed at us, is it? Engaging with fans. That's engaged with fucking exactly what we've just detailed about the tourists and all that bullshit. I've got no, like, I'm sick to death of Gary Neville because he's just like completely omnipresent gobshite on every single issue and every single thing. No, he's got nothing to offer the likes of us, has he? He's not interested in engaging with us. All he's interested in doing is fleecing the next generation of tourists.
He has done the mag two favours, but the mag being what the mag is, we will call him out, you know, so I don't go, oh no, you can't slag him off if you've got a different opinion. I do get the feeling when I read that press release yesterday, I thought the vultures are circling for a lot of billions, you know.
I just think they must be like an alternative motive to this new ground. Like we were saying before, Old Trafford's home, it's got like the infrastructure, it's got the tram links, it's got the buses that you like to complain about. Me and Paul were talking on the way into the ground today, like, what is it we actually want? So I've started getting a bit of like an unhealthy obsession with kiosks at other grounds, bearing in mind I rarely buy anything from the kiosks other than beer. But I've started getting a bit of an unhealthy obsession with it. So
that's a niche obsession.
Yeah, so I was sending pictures.
I don't reckon there's more than you send pictures.
So near Christmas, I went, I live in Sheffield. Well, there'd be a good reason why they've never done that. It's a weird thing to do. But so I went to Sheffield United near Christmas. They've got all, in the home end, they've got all different beers on tap. I went to Hillsborough last night in the home end. They've got beers on tap. They've got various food kiosks and stuff. And then you get to Old Trafford, the biggest club in the world. We're drinking bottles of plastic, Carling out of plastic bottles. We've got pies that are like wrapped up. And Paul quite rightly said, well, what is it you want? And it got me thinking, like, throughout the game while there was nothing else to like sort of concentrate on. All right, our seats are quite tight. You're 6 foot, aren't you, Barney?
Yeah, it's like, I find that struggle.
My knees do touch the seat in front. And we're not small men, so we are close together.
I enjoy that part.
I do. But other than, I think if you promise fans a little bit more room, and some beer on tap, I think Old Trafford is absolutely fine.
Well, I'm going to do a couple of things, and then I read that press release, thinking you're sniffing around our club. Why? Where have you popped up from? Especially Cove. I better let in. But Ratcliffe did his first briefing, they did it where he said, you know, Sir Jim prefers a new build and also 5-star hotels. And I thought, again, like, the land 5-star, I don't want a fucking 5-star hotel. We don't, like, put a fucking Airbnb. Like, don't price out the immediate tone of the languages. You know, I get that they're going to have to do this to carry people, and someone's going to have to pay for it, and the way that all the rules are and all that. But I want the view that I have. I want the community that I have. So it goes to, but the future is not ours. I 100% reiterate, it's not for, but what I believe during this argument, what I hope, and it won't be, so it's a pipe dream. What is a football ground for? For me, it's a community. It's true custodians. And football owners come and they go. But all they have is greedy ideas about them. And this isn't so much about Ratcliffe, but this is about what type of Manchester United do we want to be? And the type of Manchester United I want us to be is no longer here. So we come, we share it as a small group, and there's thousands of pockets, which is great. But on the big picture, what happens with this ground will determine how they see the type of United they want to be. And I fear that, like it or not, and don't get me, you know, a part of me moralised, should I just call that the day? You know, that's the day I'd call bye-bye and Miss American Pie. My United is gone when it moved. But Spurs fans, I know, enjoy that. You know, you still meet someone, you still have a good time, you have a better seat. So I'm not saying don't move with the times, but you can move with the times that still tries to have heart and hope. And I feel that bereft after 19 years. I'm very cynical, casting my eyes. Ratcliffe's making the right noises, but there's a lot of billionaires at this party and there's a lot of money to be made. So I hope United fans caution and demand, most important, the ones who totally disagree with me, I want a new, that our voices get heard, because they don't get fucking heard enough.
I don't really think I can put it any better than that, to be honest. I completely agree with you. I think it's that simple.
There's too much of that on this podcast.
Is it like, so this task force that's been created?
I don't like the word task force.
This really shit Avengers.
What task force would we ever be involved
but,
in?
Barney, I'm talking.
Sorry, mate. It's not question time.
No, but, like, I'm asking a question.
What's her name?
But the people that are on this, like, are there any actual fans that are on this? Are there people involved?
There's one fan, and which they probably consider as, and people will argue that, but don't. Heart is in the right place. His heart will try and listen to as many people as possible, and it's a thankless task.
Like, I know that
it's,
you know, thankless like, Neville,
but one. No, of course it isn't.
Enough, though, is it? It's the
but what is Lord Goh doing on that?
I that's know what I mean. Like, and Neville, you know, Neville is a businessman now. Like, he's
Bastian Coe. Paul's watched the videos of those races. He was an utter fucking bell end. He was a. When Ovet won one race, it was like, get the fuck in. Sorry, I really don't like them. I've never liked them. I mean, this is going back 40 years. I've never liked them. And the gentrification of our ground anymore. So that's... right, so the last... What I did... The last thing on the MUTV is... It's important for me, it's important for the mag, it's important for my memory and mum, and also to get down about how life can fucking beat you, is when I'm gone, there's a record of all of you lads in your ways, every seller, every contributor, what you did for this mag. And two things, it didn't show the total drenching we had against Wolves, and I was carrying bags to meet you all, and I thought it was a great line that only an oddball like me would get, but I went... I'm the bag man of Alcatraz here, and I thought that was a great line, and they didn't use it.
I'm
do you know the
I'm
bird
shocked.
Man of Alcatraz?
I'm shocked.
Do you get it?
Of course I fucking get it.
I thought it was brilliant. I'm the bag man of Alcatraz. No, right. So,
I've been the funny thing is he's now told that joke in two different situations, and it wasn't funny either time.
Just started drinking 3 weeks.
So I haven't had a drink for. This is my second drink. Cookie. Right, so.
Cookie!
It's a surprise visit from Cookie Live, right, podcast.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
What'd you make of today?
Shit. And thank God Everton is shit.
It's shocking.
What did your Everton mate think of that?
Oh, what a man.
She's not texting me yet.
No.
Shocking.
Oh, right, quick one. I know Mother's Day is not always for all, because for many reasons, so you're in my thoughts. It's the first without our mum-in-law, so it's bittersweet. It's 10 years since mum, and memories change, and I'm going to write about her in the next mag. But for all the great mums everywhere, and United is blessed to have quite a few who went, who still go, fucking thinking about you tomorrow. Right, Coggy, I'm going to end it, but any more to add about the ground?
Yeah, I think we should get a new ground. I mean, I can understand all the sentimentality about Old Trafford and everything, but it triggers broom, isn't it? You know, I first went in 66, and it's not the ground I went to. So I think if you want to keep up, we've got to have a new ground that's state-of-the-art and more exec tickets, I know, you know, and to make revenue on non-match days. But if they do it properly, it'll be brilliant. But sadly, I think we've got to have a new ground. Plus also, the logistics of revamping Old Trafford to such an extent, it means having at least a stand closed every season. So you've got lost revenue, and then where do you put the misplaced people? So,
yeah, but what do we want? Do we want a football ground, or do we want a, you know, like what? And it is the needs of us, it's got. But what I want from a football ground is a football stadium, not a.
I understand that.
Soulless.
No, well, yeah, but it's up to the fans to make it soulless or not, right?
And I will the counter today. The atmosphere was shockingly bad today. You know, so we can't say keep Old Trafford and then not offer nothing. Myself and yourself,
you know, we've got to move with the times.
But for me, I've got three concerns about having a new ground. So, if we move into a new ground, how much are they going to charge me from a season ticket? I don't know how that's going to transpire. Two, I quite like where I sit in the ground. I think I sit next to Barney. We've got lads from Burnage behind us. We've got Paul. We've got Brian. We've got like, so everyone around us. I've been like an usher at your wedding. I've been to like Danny's kids' christening.
That's mentioned
like,
in the MUTV.
Is it like? So, and it's not like I've known Michael for over 20 odd years. If they split us all up, that's going to break my heart. I can't really remember my third one. Oh yeah, no, my third one is, if they are going to redevelop the ground, I'd quite like it just behind Piccadilly, because I live in Sheffield now and I have to get the train. So if they stuck it next to where the Star and Garter is, that'd be perfect. So Big Jim, if you ever listen to this, next to the Star and Garter, that'd be perfect.
The invitation, we will sell ourselves to the devil. No one's ever asked us to sell ourselves. We will fucking have a gin and tonic with you. Two things. Sorry, Scoggy. Right. I was reading. I like reading at night now. Got out of the habit of reading. But I put that daft fucking thing around my neck and read. This is asleep. But it helps me go to sleep, feel a bit better in the world. So I read. So
what,
she
what
woke up. Well, the light. I'll show you. The Amazon light. And I love it. So I have the little light that I can turn on and off. So. No, hang on. Right. So I put the light on. Red. Chloe woke up. And she went, what the fuck are you reading? And it was Monty Don going, how to freshen your fruit trees. And she looked at me at 12:30 at night and went, what the fuck are you doing? And it was a chapter on fruit trees. The other thing I was going to say is stamp police. Readers are stamp police. I know I don't do the stamps very well. Guess what? I ordered the wrong fucking stamps this month. So I've ordered thousands of 1p stamps instead of 10p. So literally, if you hate the way I do the mag, you're going to be fucking incandescent. Right, last thing.
I'm just going to give you anything. It's not Barney that does the
stamps
on the mag. It's his poor 7-year-old child. Eight-year-old child and wife who put the stamps on.
Well, do you know what we are? We're Team Red News.
Oh!
Right, so let's go. Hates of the week. I'll tell you what, the one thing, we know we're shit, but what I loved last week, before the game, Guardiola, this is petty, but I am petty. Guardiola had his press conference. Before the game, every fucking question was on United, and he was getting wound up. And it was, how do you think United will do under Ratcliffe? And he's like, well, and yeah, but in the United world, but, and I thought, we may be utterly shit, but you will never, ever, ever take away how fucking big this football club will always, has always been. Coggy's 70s, Coggy's 60s, Coggy 1948 final. They have never, ever taken what we're like. Right, love and hate of the week.
I love Nick. It's his birthday, and so
Coggy's bought a present, and we haven't bought any presents. Any hate, Coggy?
No.
My
hate of the week was speeding cameras. And
when was the last time you had a sit down with Steve as well? That's nice.
Probably Bruges.
No,
that's great.
You know what?
G-Max,
wasn't it? Well, you know what? Steve gave the world COVID after Bruges. Because that.
No, hang on.
Hang on, right. So, should we tell the story? Went in this bar because it was cheap. A bloke had got in a fight the night before, and he had literally half his face missing. And Steve comes, here's my new mate. This is Barney, I'll give you his number and he might be able to sort you a ticket. And we didn't even have tickets.
We had no intention of having the ticket.
Ground zero was that man. And then the world went to pot a month later. Right, hate and love of the week, Steve.
I forgot another hate. I had a few, but.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
After a few pints, they've all gone. I don't. Move on. I'll
find one. Hate and love of the week.
Hate of the week, Gary Neville, sick to death of him. Absolutely had it up to here with him. Just, you know that Ollie interview that was online?
Yeah.
I'm not big on football podcasts and that, but quite intrigued by that. I'd like to hear what he had to say. I can't watch it because I'm just sick to fucking death of Gary Neville. Even if you try and avoid him, he just enters into me sort of consciousness.
I tell you what. No, what would be great. So, if we were George Orwell, 1984, you know, I know the film was shit, but the entity coming into a TV screen each morning was Gary Neville. That would be good.
He's just out of the class of 92. You'd never expect him to be the one to sort
he's
of like...
He's the big brother of the Neville brothers.
Yeah. No, but you were just out of the whole...
Out of the whole gang.
You would predict Gary Neville to be running a pub in Bury, wouldn't you? 20 years ago. You would not predict him to be like fucking Dragon's Den. Property developer.
Part of this task force.
Part
of your next.
With fucking co.
Hotel owner. Yeah, but you would not expect him to be as. He's just fucking everywhere, isn't he? I'm sick to death.
Even Chris behind us today, just when Yapstan was right. It's just like apropos nothing during the game. Right, have you got a love of the week?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Just misery.
Yeah. Oh, no, not just pure misery. I just haven't got anything that's worth mentioning.
So
there must be one.
I've got in here with us. Well, you didn't include us. You just said Steve.
I've got Paul's love of the week. So what? Paul's got a cat called Steve because he's ginger and looks like me.
How old is Steve now?
2013. So he's 11 this year.
So little. Steve's been a little twat, hasn't he? He keeps bringing stuff in.
Oh, no, that was ages.
The other day, luckily Chloe wasn't there. Fucking huge dead mouse. So I came down the stairs and I went, and I just thought if anyone heard, it was a scream stroke shriek because I nearly stepped. And I was just like, do your cat things, but only do the nice cat bits, like the purring and the sitting on your lap. I don't want the nasty. Right, anyway, love and hate.
My love of the week are these wafer rolls. I've just beaten Nick to it, which is good. So Coggy's just brought them. And they're from Costco, and they're so good. And the first time we ever had them was...
They are nice.
Yeah.
I've never had one.
Yeah, unbelievable. This week's episode is sponsored by Chloe's Wafer Rolls.
There's your next
The first time we ever had them was when it was the big protest and the Liverpool game was called off, because me and Nick turned up and Coggy was waiting for us and he opened his boot and it was just full of these.
It was full of Wafer Rolls, half full of Wafer Rolls, half full of Budweiser on the other side.
It was great.
It doesn't matter when it comes to that.
So that's my love of the week. Coggy turning up and bringing them is my love of the week. I don't really know if I've got a hate of the week, to be fair, since 3 days ago when we did this.
You're saying we've done it too soon?
No. My hate of the... I've just not got a hate of the last 3 days.
That's very... You two are saying.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
I told you before, I'm not confrontational.
Well, my love of the week was going to be Chloe's Wafer Rolls from Costco. But since my honourable right-hand man here has stolen the punch to it, I now no longer have an original love of the week. But my hate of the week is sharing a match day with you, talking about worms at half-time for 5 minutes. And you were talking about how worms leave people's bummels when they've got worms in the stomach. And me and Steve were just looking at you in sheer disgust while you were talking. Like,
there's a point to this.
There's not a point to it, Barney. Just talking about worms and out your men's bummels for 5 minutes.
I really...
I just finished eating a pie.
I don't want... I've never had worms. I never, ever want to get worms.
Look at you with your mouth full of clothes wafer rolls. ASMR podcast.
You both washed your hands.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever get worms. Ever.
Yeah,
I know it might be.
I don't think people want that. That's not like people, some people want it and some people don't.
So my exact thing was, I'm not religious, but if there is a God or if science or whatever.
Then why did he invent worms?
No, but he created the PEV and like, well, I'm not as big as. No, but I'm not.
Actually, I do believe.
I'm not as big a fan. I'm not as big a fan of the PEV as you two, but he created the bonomy after the game, or they, you know, science or evolution, whatever it is. But my point is, there was Guinness, and on the 8th day, Guinness was created, and Manchester United. So they give you all this goodness, and then on the other hand, they say, you'll have all these good things in life, but then you'll have worms that exit from your anal passage.
I can't go through this conversation again.
So that's the bad side. And like, you know, that's the bad side.
If you
side.
Had to pick a Manchester United player who you think is more like most likely to have worms, who would it be?
That's your next edit.
Should we leave it
on that? Yeah. That's fucking for the listener hell. To decide.
That's what you do if you don't have a pint for a month. Right. Buy the mag, everyone. Cheers, everyone who bought the mag. Cheers for you two, selling, everyone who contributes. I feel like a farewell tour with the ground and everything. I don't know. I get so sad about it. Right, to the regiment.
Yeah.